Chapter 15. Disorders. Confounds all my journals. I was early this morning with Mr. Secretary St. John about some business, so I could not scribble my morning lines to MD. They are here intending to tax all little printed penny papers a halfpenny every half sheet, which will utterly ruin Grub Street, and I am endeavoring to prevent it. 1. Besides, I was forwarding an impeachment against a certain great person. That was 2 of my businesses with the secretary. Were they not worthy ones? It was Ford's birthday, and I refused the secretary, and dined with Ford. We are here in as smart a frost for the time as I have seen. Delicate walking weather, and the canal and Rossamond's pond, too, full of the rabble sliding and with skates, if you know what those are. Patrick's bird's water freezes in the galley pot, and my hands in bed. February 1. I was this morning with poor Lady Carey, who is much worse in her head than one. She sends me bottles of her bitter, and we are so fond of one another, because our ailments are the same. Don't you know that, Madam Stella? And I seen you conning ailments with Joe's wife, 3, and some others, sirrah? I walked into the city to dine, because of the walk, for we must take care of Presto's health, you know, because of poor little MD. But I walked plague-eye carefully, for fear of sliding against my will, but I am very busy. 2. This morning Mr. Ford came to me to walk into the city, where he had business, and then to buy books at Bateman's, and I laid out £1.5 for a Strabo and Aristophanes, and I have now got books enough to make me another shelf, and I will have more, or it shall cost me a fall. And so as we came back, we drank a flask of right French wine at Ben Took's chamber, and when I got home, Mrs. Van Homry sent me word her eldest daughter, 4, was taken suddenly very ill, and desired I would come and see her. I went, and found it was a silly trick of Mrs. Armstrong, 5, Lady Lucy's sister, who, with Moll Stanhope, was visiting there. However, I rattled off the daughter. 3. Today I went and dined at Lady Lucy's, where you know I have not been this long time. They are plague-eye wicks, especially the sister Armstrong, the most insupportable of all women, pretending to wit, without any taste. She was running down the last examiner, 6, the prettiest I had read, with a character of the present ministry. I left them at 5, and came home. But I forgot to tell you, that this morning my cousin Dryden Leach, the printer, came to me with a heavy complaint, that Harrison the new tailor had turned him off, and taken the last tailor's printers again. He vowed revenge, I answered gravely, and so he left me, and I have ordered Patrick to deny me to him from henceforth. And at night, comes a letter from Harrison, telling me the same thing, and excused his doing it without my notice, because he would bear all the blame. And in his Tailor of this day, 7, he tells you the story, how he has taken his old officers, and there is a most humble letter from Morphew and Lily to beg his pardon, etc. 8, and lastly, this morning Ford sent me 2 letters from the coffee house, where I hardly ever go, one from the Archbishop of Dublin, and t'other from who do you think t'other was from? I'll tell you, because you are friends. Why, then it was, faith, it was from my own dear little M.D., N. 110. Oh, but will not answer it now, no, no, I'll keep it between the 2 sheets. Here it is, just under. Oh, I lifted up the sheet, and saw it there. Lie still, you shan't be answered yet, little letter, for I must go to bed, and take care of my head. 4. I avoid going to church yet, for fear of my head, though it has been much better these last 5 or 6 days, since I have taken Lady Carey's bitter. Our frost holds like a dragon. I went to Mr. Addison's, and dined with him at his lodgings. I had not seen him these 3 weeks, we are grown common acquaintance. Yet what have not I done for his friend Steele? Mr. Harley reproached me the last time I saw him, that to please me, he would be reconciled to Steele, and had promised and appointed to see him, and that Steele never came. Harrison, whom Mr. Addison recommended to me, I have introduced to the Secretary of State, who has promised me to take care of him. And I have represented Addison himself so to the ministry, that they think and talk in his favor, though they hated him before. Well, he is now in my debt, and there's an end. And I never had the least obligation to him, and there's another end. This evening I had a message from Mr. Harley, desiring to know whether I was alive, and that I would dine with him tomorrow. They dine so late, that since my head has been wrong I have avoided being with them. Patrick has been out of favor these 10 days. I talked dry and cross to him, and have called him green 3 or 4 times. But, sirs, get you gone. 5. Morning. I am going this morning to see Pryor, who dines with me at Mr. Harley's, so I can't stay fiddling and talking with dear little brats in the morning, and 'tis still terribly cold. I wish my cold H, and was in the warmest place about you, young women. I'd give 10 guineas upon that account with all my heart, faith. Oh, it starves my thigh, so I'll rise and bid you good morrow, my ladies both, good morrow. Come, stand away, let me rise. Patrick, take away the candle. Is there a good fire? So up a daisy. At night. Mr. Harley did not sit down till 6, and I stayed till 11. Henceforth I will choose to visit him in the evenings, and dine with him no more, if I can help it. It breaks all my measures, and hurts my health. My head is disorderly, but not ill, and I hope it will mend. 6. Here has been such a hurry with the Queen's birthday, so much fine clothes, and the court so crowded, that I did not go there. All the frost is gone. It thawed on Sunday, and so continues, yet ice is still on the canal. I did not mean that of Larriker, but St. James Park, and boys sliding on it. Mr. Ford pressed me to dine with him in his chamber. Did not I tell you Patrick has got a bird, a linnet, to carry over to Dingley? It was very tame at first, and 'tis now the wildest I ever saw. He keeps it in a closet, where it makes a terrible litter, but I say nothing. I am as tame as a clout. When must we answer our MD's letter? One of these odd come shortlies. This is a week old, you see, and no farther yet. Mr. Harley desired I would dine with him again today, but I refused him, for I fell out with him yesterday, 9, and will not see him again till he makes me amends. And so I go to bed. 7. I was this morning early with Mr. Lewis of the Secretary's office, and saw a letter Mr. Harley had sent to him, desiring to be reconciled. But I was deaf to all entreaties, and have desired Lewis to go to him, and let him know I expect further satisfaction. If we let these great ministers pretend too much, there will be no governing them. He promises to make me easy, if I will, but come and see him. But I won't, and he shall do it by message, or I will cast him off. I'll tell you the cause of our quarrel when I see you, and refer it to yourselves. And that he did something, which he intended for a favor, and I have taken it quite otherwise, disliking both the thing and the manner, and it has heartily vexed me, and all I have said is truth, though it looks like jest. And I absolutely refuse to submit to his intended favor, and expect further satisfaction. Mr. Ford and I dined with Mr. Lewis. We have a monstrous deal of snow, and it has cost me 2 shillings today in chair and coach, and walked till I was dirty besides. I know not what it is now to read or write, after I am in bed. The last thing I do up is to write something to our MD, and then get into bed, and put out my candle, and so go sleep as fast as ever I can. But in the mornings I do write sometimes in bed, as you know. 8. Morning. I have desired Apronia to be always careful, especially about the legs. Pray, do you see any such great wit in that sentence? I must freely own that I do not. But party carries everything nowadays, and what a splutter have I heard about the wit of that saying, repeated with admiration above 100 times in half an hour. Pray read it over again this moment, and consider it. I think the word is advised, and not desired. I should not have remembered it, if I had not heard it so often. Why, you must know I dreamed it just now, and waked with it in my mouth. Are you bit, or are you not, sirs? I met Mr. Harley in the Court of Requests, and he asked me how long I had learned the trick of writing to myself. He had seen your letter through the glass case at the coffee house, and would swear it was my hand, and Mr. Ford, who took and sent it me, was of the same mind. I remember others have formerly said so too. I think I was little MD's writing dash master. 10. But come, what is here to do, writing to young women in the morning? I have other fish to fry, so good morrow, my ladies all, good dash morrow. Perhaps I'll answer your letter tonight, perhaps I won't, that's as saucy little presto takes the humor. At night. I walked in the park today in spite of the weather, as I do always, when it does not actually rain. Do you know what it has gone and done? We had a thaw for 3 days, then a monstrous dirt and snow, and now it freezes, like a pot lid, upon our snow. I dined with Lady Betty Germain, the first time since I came for England, and there did I sit, like a booby, till 8, looking over her, and another lady at picket, when I had other business enough to do. It was the coldest day I felt this year. 9. Morning. After I had been abed an hour last night, I was forced to rise, and call to the landlady and maid to have the fire removed in a chimney below stairs, which made my bedchamber smoke, though I had no fire in it. I have been twice served so. I never lay so miserable an hour in my life. Is it not plaguy vexatious? It has snowed all night, and rains this morning. Come, where's MD's letter? Come, Mrs. Letter, make your appearance. Here am I, says she, answer me to my face. Oh, Faith, I am sorry you had my 12th so soon. I doubt you will stay longer for the rest. I'm so afraid you have got my 14th, while I am writing this, and I would always have one letter from Presto reading, one traveling, and one writing. As for the box, I now believe it lost. It is directed for Mr. Curry, at his house in Capel Street, etc. I had a letter yesterday from Dr. Raymond in Chester, who says he sent his man everywhere, and cannot find it, and God knows whether Mr. Smith will have better success. Stern spoke to him, and I writ to him with a bottle of palsy water. That bottle, I hope, will not miscarry. I long to hear you have it. Oh, Faith, you have too good an opinion of Presto's care. I am negligent enough of everything but MD, and I should not have trusted Stern. But it shall not go so. I will have one more tug for it. As to what you say of Goodman Peaceley and Isaac, 11, I answer as I did before. Fie, child, you must not give yourself the way to believe any such thing. And afterwards, only for curiosity, you may tell me how these things are approved, and how you like them, and whether they instruct you in the present course of affairs, and whether they are printed in your town, or only sent from hence. Sir Andrew Fountain is recovered. So take your sorrow again, but don't keep it, fling it to the dogs. And does little MD walk indeed? I'm glad of it at heart. Yes, we have done with the plague here. It was very saucy in you to pretend to have it before your betters. Your intelligence that the story is false about the officers forced to sell, 12, is admirable. You may see them all three here every day, no more in the army than you. 12 shillings for mending the strong box, that is, for putting a farthing's worth of iron on a hinge, and gilding it. Give him 6 shillings, and I'll pay it, and never employ him or his again. No indeed, I put off preaching as much as I can. I am upon another foot. Nobody doubts here whether I can preach, and you are fools. The account you give of that weekly paper 13 agrees with us here. Mr. Pryor was like to be insulted in the street for being supposed the author of it, but one of the last papers cleared him. Nobody knows who it is, but those few in the secret, I suppose the ministry and the printer. Poor Stella's eyes. God bless them, and send them better. Pray spare them, and write not above 2 lines a day in broad daylight. How does Stella look, Madam Dingley? Pretty well, a handsome young woman still. Will she pass in a crowd? Will she make a figure in a country church? Stay a little, fair ladies. I this minute sent Patrick to Stern. He brings back word that your box is very safe with one Mr. Earl's sister in Chester, and that Colonel Edgeworth's widow, 14, goes for Ireland on Monday next, and will receive the box at Chester, and deliver it you safe. So there are some hopes now. Well, let us go on to your letter. The warrant is passed for the first fruits. The Queen does not send a letter, but a patent will be drawn here, and that will take up time. Mr. Harley of Leda said nothing of presenting me to the Queen. I was overseen, 15, when I mentioned it to you. He has such a weight of affairs on him, that he cannot mind all, but he talked of it 3 or 4 times to me, long before I dropped it to you. What, is not Mrs. Wall's business over yet? I had hopes she was up and well, and the child dead before this time. You did right, at last, to send me your accounts. But I did not stay for them, I thank you. I hope you have your bill sent in my last, and there will be £8 interest soon due from Hawkshaw. Pray look at his bond. I hope you are good managers. And that, when I say so, Stella won't think I intend she should grudge herself wine. But going to those expensive lodgings requires some fund. I wish you had stayed till I came over, for some reasons. That Frenchwoman, 16, will be grumbling again in a little time. And if you are invited anywhere to the country, it will vex you to pay in absence, and the country may be necessary for poor Stella's health. But do as you like, and do not blame Presto. Oh, but you are telling your reasons. Well, I have read them. Do as you please. Yes, Raymond says he must stay longer than he thought, because he cannot settle his affairs. M is in the country at some friends, comes to town in spring, and then goes to settle in Herefordshire. Her husband is a surly, ill-natured brute, and cares not she should see anybody. Oh Lord, see how I blundered, and left 2 lines short. It was that ugly score in the paper, 17, that made me mistake. I believe you lie about the story of the fire, only to make it more odd. Burnage must go to Spain, and I will see to recommend him to the Duke of Argyll, his general, when I see the Duke next. But the officers tell me it would be dishonorable in the last degree for him to sell now, and he would never be preferred in the army, so that, unless he designs to leave it for good and all, he must go. Tell him so, and that I would write, if I knew where to direct to him, which I have said 4 times already. I had rather anything almost than that you should strain yourselves to send a letter when it is inconvenient. We have settled that matter already. I'll write when I can, and so shall MD, and upon occasions extraordinary I will write, though it be a line, and when we have not letters soon, we agree that all things are well, and so that's settled forever, and so hold your tongue. Well, you shall have your pins. But for candles' ends, I cannot promise, because I burn them to the stumps. Besides, I remember what Stella told Dingley about them many years ago, and she may think the same thing of me. And Dingley shall have her hinged spectacles. Poor dear Stella, how durst you write those 2 lines by candlelight? Bang your bones! Faith, this letter shall go tomorrow, I think, and that will be in 10 days from the last, young women. That's too soon of all conscience. But answering yours has filled it up so quick, and I do not design to use you 2-3 pages in folio, no, no. All this is one morning's work in bed. And so good morrow, little sirs, that's for the rhyme. 18, you want politics. Faith, I can't think of any, but maybe at night I may tell you a passage. Come, sit off the bed, and let me rise, will you? At night. I dined today with my neighbor Van Homry. It was such dismal weather I could not stir further. I have had some threatenings with my head, but no fits. I still drink Dr. Radcliffe's 19, bitter, and will continue it. 10. I was this morning to see the Secretary of State, and have engaged him to give a memorial from me to the Duke of Argyll in behalf of Burnage. The Duke is a man that distinguishes people of merit, and I will speak to him myself. But the secretary backing it will be very effectual, and I will take care to have it done to purpose. Pray tell Burnett so, and that I think nothing can be luckier for him, and that I would have him go by all means. I will order it that the Duke shall send for him when they are in Spain, or, if he fails, that he shall receive him kindly when he goes to wait on him. Can I do more? Is not this a great deal? I now send away this letter, that you may not stay. I dined with Ford upon his opera day, and am now come home, and am going to study. Do not you presume to guess, sirs, impudent saucy dear boxes. Towards the end of a letter I could not say saucy boxes without putting dear between. And that right now? Farewell. This should be longer, but that I send it tonight. 20. Oh silly silly loggerhead. I send a letter this post to one Mr. Staunton, and I direct it to Mr. Acton's in St. Michael's Lane. He formerly lodged there, but he has not told me where to direct. Pray send to that Acton, whether 21, the letter is come there, and whether he has sent it to Staunton. If Burnett designs to sell his commission and stay at home, pray let him tell me so, that my recommendation to the Duke of Argyll may not be in vain. Letter 16. London, February 10, 1710-11. I have just dispatched my 15th to the post. I tell you how things will be, after I have got a letter from M.D. I am in furious haste to finish mine, for fear of having two of M.D.'s to answer in one of Presto's, which would be such a disgrace, never saw the like. But, before you write to me, I write at my leisure, like a gentleman, a little every day, just to let you know how matters go, and so and so. And I hope before this comes to you, you'll have got your box and chocolate, and Presto will take more care another time. 11. Morning. I must rise and go see my Lord Keeper, one, which will cost me 2 shillings in coach hire. Don't you call them 2/13s? 2, at night. It has rained all day, and there was no walking. I read prayers to Sir Andrew Fountain in the forenoon, and I dined with 3 Irishmen, at 1 Mr. Coke's, 3, lodgings. The other 2 were 1 Morris and Archdeacon, 4, and Mr. Ford. When I came home this evening, I expected that little jackanapes Harrison would have come to get help about his tailor for Tuesday. I have fixed 2 evenings in the week which I allow him to come. The toad never came, and I expecting him fell a reading, and left off other business. Come, what are you doing? How do you pass your time this ugly weather? Gaming and drinking, I suppose. Fine diversions for young ladies, truly. I wish you had some of our Seville oranges, and we some of your wine. We have the finest oranges for 2 pence apiece, and the basest wine for 6 shillings a bottle. They tell me wine grows cheap with you. I am resolved to have half a hogshead, when I get to Ireland, if it be good and cheap, as it used to be, and I will treat M.D. at my table in an evening, and laugh at great ministers of state. 12. The days are grown fine and long, dash be thanked. Oh, faith, you forget all our little sayings, and I am angry. I dined today with Mr. Secretary St. John. I went to the Court of Requests at noon, and sent Mr. Harley into the house to call the secretary, to let him know I would not dine with him, if he dined late. By good luck the Duke of Argyll was at the lobby of the house too, and I kept him in talk till the secretary came out, then told him I was glad to meet them together, and that I had a request to the Duke, which the secretary must second, and his grace must grant. The Duke said he was sure it was something insignificant, and wished it was 10 times greater. At the Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.